Thank you, Jesus. Glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Matthew 27, verse 50, please. We're getting right to this message. God, is it hot in here? Whew. Worthy is your name. Matthew 27. Thank you, Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. In verse 50, Jesus was on the cross and he cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now you got to look at this and how what happened. The veil was torn, the earth quaked, and rocks were split. Think about that. Rocks were split. I mean, in other words, the frequency and vibration of what happened, split, demolished. And then something very strange happened. The graves were opened. So this shaking opened up the graves. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Why? Because many people came out. None of these people. In other words, when these things were moved away, the bodies were shown. Now, they weren't alive yet. Amen? They were still laying there. This is resurrection power at work. Now we're going to see the power of resurrection. Are you ready? And coming out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection, then the rest of them were resurrected. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. So you have resurrection power that moved first, and then the power of resurrection. In other words, after the resurrection, power was released. Then we got it. It was released afterwards. So you had resurrection power working, and then after Jesus rose, that released the power of resurrection all through the earth to those who would follow him, to those who would keep his covenant. It would be totally different from that moment on. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. And when a centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joas, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Jesus raised, and then what we call the first fruits followed. Now, these individuals that were raised and walked into the city and so forth, they were all those that had followed Jesus during his ministry that had passed away. They weren't anything before that or anyone after it. This is known as the first fruits, the beginning of resurrection. What is it? The power of resurrection. Because now they were walking in the power of resurrection. They raised from the dead after Jesus rose from the dead. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they couldn't come either. They're known as the first fruits. Everyone say, I'm a first fruit. Amen. We're the followers of the first fruits. So we know that Jesus now, here we have the power of resurrection fulfilling the gateway to heaven. How did he fulfill it? Because he had to fulfill the first three feasts. Passover, unleavened, and first fruits. Those three feasts were fulfilled in that moment in 3 days. That made the pathway and the gateway to heaven open, called the tabernacle. The eternal port was being established. Does everybody get it now? That's why Jesus said, I'm the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Oh, hallelujah. Only the followers of Jesus at that time on the earth that had passed, or what we call asleep, were raised with Jesus. And then they went into the town and so forth and witnessed to everyone. I mean, come on, think about what a revival that broke out. See, we don't hear enough about that. You know how many people that must have been? Hundreds that died during that period of time. And now they're resurrected and they're walking in the power of resurrection. And they're going into the cities witnessing that they were dead and they're now alive. Word spread quick. Blew away the Pharisees and Sadducees. Many of them turned into membership clubs. They walked away from all that religious garbage and began to follow the truth of the Spirit. See, one of the things about, which people don't realize, I think sometimes, the whole focus of everything was to get the power of resurrection through the Holy Spirit to humanity. That's what Jesus' focus was. But he had to dismantle the enemy first. He had to be a sign and wonder so people would begin to follow and believe. The Bible says that Christ is in us. We are the temple now. We're the tabernacle. But see, there's a problem and a fight between the mind and the heart. Because the Bible says something, as a man thinks, so he is. And the enemy comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. What's he always stealing? Your identity. That's why that battle is so constant. Or we'd be seeing more miracle signs and wonders. We'd be seeing more freedom, more people getting freed up. More Christians walking in a state of freedom. Hallelujah. Turn to Mark 12, verse 18. People live, too many people live by emotion, how they feel. Mark 12, 18. Thank you. Everybody there? Let's speak it. Then some Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection came to Jesus and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as a wife. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken? Because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Now he rebuked them because you guys don't interpret the scriptures correctly. And you're teaching heresy, deception, and to be true, doctrines of demons. For when they raise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Hello, no more gender. But are like what? Angels in heaven. Now, isn't it pretty amazing that many of these religious occults believe that they're going to have virgins when they die? Bunch of idiots. So they're killing one another. They're killing, man. They're sliced, cutting their heads off, proclaiming that it's God and it's a false reality, thinking that they're going to be the great one by having all of these virgins when they die. That's called Luciferian. There is not going to be that type of life there. When you leave this place, I personally don't think you remember it. you enter a whole new life. Glory, honor, totally different. Who cares about this place when you leave? Hallelujah. Verse 26, but concerning the dead that they rise, you have not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Man, did he let them have it. I'm sure he said more than that. What was this? This was the fulfillment of the resurrection. Jesus had to come and fulfill. Now see, the fulfillment of the resurrection is at the end. So we are in the power of resurrection all the way to the end to be fulfilled. Remember, we talked about even the feasts of the Lord, they've all been fulfilled in an area, but they're still manifesting, aren't they? Same thing with the seals that are broken. Just because the seal is broken doesn't mean it's all being fulfilled at one time. It's the process of all the way to the fulfillment. We are in the fulfillment time. We've got time right now. Who knows how long? 7 years? 10 years? But we know we're very close. We know that we're very close. Remember, Jesus will not come until he comes through the body of Christ first. That's a great sign for me and you when we see God come through the body. I mean, in a marvelous way. Marvelous. You're going to be walking down the streets and your shadow will be healing people. Oh, there's going to be a tremendous difference. Why? Because the kingdom of God will be in its full process and manifestation through the body. He's going to glorify his body first before he comes. Why? Because the body goes home and the head returns. Hello? Oh, glory. Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Power of resurrection. That's what you and I walk in now. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How should we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Why? Because we are walking in the power of the resurrection now as a new creation. The anointing of God Almighty is what surrounds me and you and keeps us. See, just because you don't see it and you don't feel it means it's not there. He's there. He's there. Always. Amen. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe, for he who has died has been freed from, in other words, died to what? Died to yourself. Amen. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Say what? Alive from the dead. That's the power of resurrection. Alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace, which is God's plan of escape. Always. Glory to God. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 17. Power of resurrection. James chapter 1, verse 17. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Every good gift and every precious gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadowing of turn. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. Ooh. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Wow. So again, we have become the first fruits by the power of resurrection. Somebody get that? We are the first fruits. I love it. I mean, we're in that process of the first fruits. Remember, the original first fruits were the ones that were raised right after Jesus. But now, see, that was a physical area of first fruits of resurrection, of the power of resurrection. But then the power of resurrection was released 50 days later through what? The Holy Spirit, fulfilling the Feast of Pentecost. Oh, see, if more believers understood the feast and the importance of the feast and their quality of reality, people would become different in the mind thinking towards things. They see the kingdom of God in a different way. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? Glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Everybody there? Anybody there? Okay. Let's speak it, please. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have what? Fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all live, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one to his own order, Christ the first fruits, amen, and afterward those who are what? Christ at his coming. So Christ the first fruits, Christ the first fruits, that was in his resurrection, amen, and then the rest afterwards. Hallelujah. Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him. Who is that? The Father. Who will put all things under him, that God may be all and what? In all. So we see something's happened here. There's a transition from death to life in all things. And he explains it in this next scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. First John chapter 3, verse 13. Hallelujah. So when you get threatened of somebody killing you, tell them you're already dead. You can't kill what's already dead. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, are we there? Let's speak. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from what? Death to life. Through what? The power of resurrection. Because we love the brethren, he who does not love his brethren abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Wow. Okay, let's see. Thank you. Pass from what? Death to what? Life. That's the power of resurrection. So you're walking in life now. You're no longer walking in death. We were born in death. Amen? Think about it. We're born to be dead. Every one of us is born to come dead. Everything that's born in this world dies. Nice place, huh? That's why we die daily to ourselves. But we're not looking at physical. This is just a shell. It's a body that carries your spirit, who's a new creation. You're eternal. And what upholds you is the power of resurrection through the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. That's why the anointing teaches me and you. He's always guiding us, sometimes slapping us in the back of the head saying, stop that, will you? Hallelujah. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Ephesians 2, chapter 1. Ephesians 2, chapter 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1, sorry. Hallelujah. When the Lord began to explain this to me, I saw the presence of God around his children. In other words, I mean, their feet were barely touching the ground because he was upholding them through the power of resurrection. People, I mean, you were walking, we were doing, but we're like light-footed, getting ready to take off. That's the power of resurrection. You're getting ready to take off. And that's why people can be raptured. Why? Because they are walking in the power of resurrection when rapture time comes. Those who are not walking in the power of resurrection cannot be raptured. Woohoo! Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, let's speak it. For you he made what? Alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, who is the spirit of death, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. With Christ, by grace you've been saved. That's his plan. And raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Through what? The power of resurrection. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Not that it is yourselves, it is the gift of God. Thank God he gave us a plan. What a gift. That's a great gift, isn't it? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in the power of resurrection. Romans 8, verse 18. Romans 8, 18. Thank you, Lord. We were made alive through the power of resurrection. Romans 8, 18. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God who carry the power of resurrection. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the what? First fruits of the Spirit. We are the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, the completion of our power of the resurrection, other the completion of our transition. See, we are still being transformed into his image every day, more and more. Don't let the mirror tell you what you're being doing. You know? Hallelujah. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. We press. We fight. So that's what we fight. We fight. We're in a war. We're fighting against all the stuff that's attacking us in every way. Disappointment, discouragement, oppression, regrets, this, that, whatever. Self-condemning. I mean, we're our worst enemy. Amen. We're the worst. And then we let everything dictate what we are. Because the enemy comes against you and me. We are on this planet. He's still in charge here. Even though he's been disarmed, now we're to be in charge. So that makes me and you in charge of all the space, every place we go. We're in charge. We're resisting the enemy, and the enemy cannot resist us. What? They can't handle us, man. They got a boogie. So that's why we're taking property. We're taking land. Everywhere you go, the presence of God, the power of resurrection radiates all around you. But the enemy tries to tell you something different. He says, you seen that new wrinkle on your face? Do you see you lost your hair? Do you see you're getting gray? Do you see you're getting weaker? Do you see this? He's always pointing you to you. He never points you to Jesus, that's for sure. He points you to you. And then all of a sudden you lose focus. What's he doing? He's manipulating your identity. Oh, hallelujah, what a battle. Oh, Lord, he's always telling you, oh, man, you see those pains and aches and you're sick and you're this, and where's your God? He's inside of me. This shell is going to go to the dust. I'm going home and you're going to hell. You know, we used to have that little phrase in our when we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. Well, boy, do they hurt when we agree with them. Amen. Boy, do they hurt. Oh, glory. Where were we? Did we finish this? Yeah, okay, good. Praise God. So we're waiting for a new body. That's the completion. Amen. John 11, verse 17. Oh, yes. The Gospel of John. John 11, verse 17. Everybody there? John 11. Well, that's 13. Okay. Good. All right. John 11, verse 17. Let's speak it. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been, he's talking about Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. 4 days. All 4 days. This is symbolic timetable. See, from the time of Adam to Jesus' death was 4,000 years. Think about that. Has everybody got it? So watch what happens. Now, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been dead 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews who had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother who had died. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Well, you know, that's very possible, but he wasn't there for a purpose and a reason. But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Okay, cool. Jesus said to her, your brother will arise again. And she, Martha, said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. In the what? Last days. And Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. But she didn't really answer him, you know. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in her house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down to his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So both sisters said the same thing, didn't they? Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said to her, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Jesus wept because they didn't believe. He kept telling, I am the resurrection of life. What do you think I'm here for? Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. They thought he was weeping over Lazarus. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay aside against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Here's another example. Take away the stony heart. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. In other words, man, he's going to stink badly. For he has been dead 4 days. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is prophetic about the power of resurrection going to be released. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God through the what? Power of resurrection. Then he took away the stone. from the place where the dead hip man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And now I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Man, you and I were born into this world with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. That's the power of resurrection. It looses you to let you go. This was prophetic. 4,000 years, this was going to be released. The power of resurrection. Everybody get it? Oh, happy days. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. Verse 1. Everybody cool? Everybody? No, are you hot? Verse 1, let's speak it together. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. So they're all one. And bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw the thrones and they that sat on them. And judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Hello, we are a part of the first resurrection because it's first fruits. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Why? Because we walk in the power of resurrection. And I close at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Power of resurrection. Everybody there? Let's speak it. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because of what? The power of resurrection. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him and continuous first fruits of the kingdom. Power of resurrection may take a little bit to absorb all of this, but you will, because the Holy Spirit carries it all the way through. Amen. Father, we thank you for the power of resurrection that you allow us to walk in and be a part of the first fruits and part of the first fruit resurrection itself and its completion. We pray, Papa, today for those calling on your name today, that you would visit them and bring the power of resurrection in hospitals, in homes, families, and those addicted, homeless. Lord, the world needs to see your power of resurrection. They will. They definitely will. But Lord, we need you now. We need you now in every area of our life and everything that we do. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound abundantly. And let this word be sealed in us that we may continue to know who we are and maintain our identity of truth. Walking in the power of resurrection for your name, for your glory, and for your honor in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.